Yeah.
You'll know it's my first job.
This is Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Dana Eggert and Jenny Strockler interviewing Libby Rosenthal on May 19th, 1978.
Wait a minute.
Libby, I would like you to tell us about your mother and your father and where you were born.
My mother and father both died young. My mother was 55, my father was 45.
Don't wait for me, just keep talking.
And just before his death, he was getting ready to be a delegate to the Zionist Convention here in Pittsburgh in 1903. That was in May, and he died just shortly before. And he was an ardent Zionist, and one of the original meetings were held at our home on, well, I remember in our childhood even, before we lived on Dinwiddie Street, before I was married, I lived at 253 Dinwiddie Street. But previous to that, we had lived in Boonville, where there was very few Jewish families. And he had the neighbors come in, and he'd read the services of Megillah and what. And he really taught us our love for within Palestine. And we were brought up in that atmosphere. We're a large family. My mother had 10 children, 5 girls and 5 boys, and only the baby girl died in infancy. We're now just 2 sisters, 1 brother, and myself, and only 4 left. But my father was a great help to us in our homework, and I think I got my love for mathematics from him. Isn't that funny? That was some talent I had. The others have others. Do you know my sister Jen? Jen Lancer?
I knew of her.
Yeah. Well, she has the talent of her family.
What's that?
Well, she can do everything. She can make wonderful things with shells. And there's some of her work. You can see it there on the desk later.
She had the artistic talent. She had the artistic talent.
She did indeed. Yeah. She could make something out of nothing. I could make nothing out of out of something. But she was that kind of a person. And my sister Rose was very active in all the Zionist organization of the time. Another community organization.
What was Rose's last name?
Factory. And she taught
Rose.
We talked.
Was Rose's last name? Was it Zellinger?
Rose Jellinger.
Jellinger.
She's my oldest sister.
Uh-huh. That's the J.
My brothers were in the electrical contracting business. And there's just the one brother left, Mr. Israel Winkler. We call him IR, but his name is Israel. My sister Sarah taught in Colfax School for many years.
Is that so?
And she died a couple of years ago, yeah.
Oh, what was her last name?
No, about myself.
What was Sarah's last name?
Myers, M-E-Y-E-R.
Oh, I knew Sarah Myers.
Of course you did.
I didn't know she belonged. Tell me, in your home, when you said your father was so avid in Zionist, Did he do anything else besides just give you the feeling?
Yes, he wrote two books, one in Hebrew called The Jewish Question, and we got this distinct honor of having that. We never knew it until recently that that book was accepted by the Library of Congress, the first Hebrew book. And just before his death, he was working on a book in English. But my sister Jen was trying to put it together because it's just in notes and erasures and substitution of words, and he never completed it because he died in May of 1903. And that's it.
Tell me, how did this strong scientist feeling affect you and your other sisters and brothers?
Well, we were brought up in that atmosphere. We knew that was his, he lived for it and died for it, I would say, because when he went to this meeting just a week before he died, and I remember I was a kind of a nosy little kid. I used to stay with my mother, and when my father came home, he was all overheated, and my mother said, "Oh, you really got excited at the meeting, didn't you?" And he had a cold. And he went to bed that Sunday, and the next Sunday he was gone. Oh, and he had pneumonia. And my mother struggled to raise those 9 children and educate them. I don't know how she did it. Today, if a woman doesn't have a laundress for a day, she's frustrated.
At that time, she was how old?
My mother, I would say, she died when she was 55.
Your father died, how old was
she? Yes, my father died earlier. I don't know exactly.
Was it about 45?
I would say. And she was the daughter of Mrs. Hannah Sandusky, a midwife,
Tell me about that.
Hannah Sandusky?
Yes, tell us about Hannah. But what did you call her?
Baba Hanna.
Baba Hanna.
Everybody called her that.
And was that the general thing that the midwife would go around? Yeah. What was her duty? What did she do?
What did she do? She did everything that a good Jewish woman could do. She was very concerned about everybody that was in trouble. And she'd visit them. You know, those days, people didn't go to the hospital to have their babies. And she'd go to their house. And sometimes they would tell us afterwards, when she was buried in our home, that they'd find money under the pillow. Instead of her collecting, they'd find money. Because they're so poor. Such poor people. They have the children. They have God. And I'll tell you that she couldn't write English. And there was this long reverse word recorded. My own birth wasn't recorded. I had to establish it. So we'd go with her, to interview the new mothers or fathers. And it was my turn. And if I lived to be 120, which I hope I will, I'll never forget. I came into this basement kitchen, clean as a pin, a bedroom like on one side and a kitchen on the other. Could you believe that? And there were twin boys. And the father said, he was beaming. It's my doctor. That's my Lord. And I often wonder whether his dreams came true. In such poverty, they had such ambition for their children.
And the midwife, the Baba Hanna,
she brought the children. And I wrote down the father's name, the mother's name, and the children's, if they had named them. And I often wonder whether they became adults. That shows you the Jewish spirit is for education.
Well, tell me, when you lost your father at such an early age and your mother had 9 children at least to bring up, how was it in your home? Who made the living?
My father had a very unusual occupation. Avocation, I call it, because to him it was a means of making a living. He made Well, Jim has some of his work. He made change. That was the time that I'm talking to you about. People, or the hair, they made the hair chains. And they wore them around the neck like a necklace. And my father created all those things.
Huh?
He had a sort of a, I don't know what you call it, sort of a, I can still see it, you know, like a stand. And he weaved it back and forth, you know. We were fascinated.
And where did he get the hair?
People, you know, those days they'd cut their hair or combs or what. My mother would wash them, and he'd make the strands and put the strands on a metal thing to hold them and weave them back and forth. See, and not too long ago, Jim had a visitor, and she had one of the original chains. So Jim has framed it. It's something you don't hear about. And then he would make, oh, another thing that they would make. My father would make wreaths if they have a departed child. You know, my mother would wash their hair, and my father would create flowers and leaves, like a wreath, you know. And there's a girl, it was in a pink one and a blue for the boy. I can still remember that as a child. And my mother carried on that afterwards. She was a very, she could do everything.
Who was really the boss in your house?
The what?
The boss in your house. Was the father, did the father give the orders, or were you
both? There was no such thing.
There was no such thing.
No.
They all were.
That's right. And my father, we could always go to him. If you had a problem you couldn't solve in the arithmetic, you'd go to your father. We never called him anything but father. We never said dad or daddy. It was father.
Real
dignified, father and mother. We never had any, like you call pet names. But
well, with all this hard ability to get some kind of money, what did you do for recreation? How did you? How was your cultural life enhanced?
I tell you, children today didn't require to be entertained. They entertained themselves. You know, we had a. I go back many years. We had one of those. You look through and you see the, what do they call those?
Stereo fox.
Yeah. And then, oh, of course, we went to the circus. Yes. Circus. And there was a, when we lived in Beaver Falls, there was a natural park. And we'd go there for recreation.
How long did you live in Beaver Falls?
We lived there, I think we left there in 1900.
You lived there
came
about,
to Pittsburgh.
You lived there about how many years?
Well, I think about 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Previous to that, we had lived in Baden on a farm. Uh-huh. My sister Sarah was a delicate child. My father thought if she'd go to the country and get the fresh milk, it would help her.
You're talking about the child that died? Is that the child that died?
No, she thrived after we got there. Oh, yes. I just wanted to show you this if you have time. See, I've compromised it. And I treasured it because it had my father's picture in it and all these ads and so forth. He used to stand us up in the room with Singhatipa, the three little sisters. See, there were three brothers between my oldest sister and I. And then it was myself and Sarah and Jim. And they stand, and even to this day, when I hear that, it tickles. It comes back to me. But he never lived to see it. No, I gave this foolishly. I gave my book.
Who took all these ads?
They were the ads that were solicited for the donor, like you
who
today.
Did, like your father and
no,
somebody else?
No, different business people.
Oh.
And see, this was my father's picture. Oh. And yes, he died. Never lived to see the convention. And see, he was active in Zionism at the time that Herschel was pleading for homeland. Yeah.
I forgot to ask you, where were you born?
Oh, where was I born? I was born at 32 Townsend Street in Pittsburgh. And our family was quite, at that time, they were, you know, they weren't poor.
And so most of your sisters and brothers were also born there? Pardon? Your sisters and brothers, were they also born there? Or did, by
no,
that time
I think
moved
Sarah
around?
B. was born there. Jim, my sister Jim was born in Baden on the farm. And my brother, my youngest brother, was born in Beaver Falls.
What year were you born?
My brother.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1892. I'm 85 plus. I'll be 86 my next birthday. Everybody's older than me. You know, people that I went to school with, they're old, and I'm young. Isn't that something?
Well, that's what we all feel.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You know, they say, oh, I asked them about their children, thinking they were still little. Yes, they're in college, or they're getting married, or whatever. Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you, you said that you didn't go any place for entertainment. Did you go to concerts?
When I was young?
Yes.
Well,
were there any available?
When we moved into Pittsburgh, we used to go to the theater for a quarter and see the vaudeville. For a quarter, you can mm-hmm. see the best shows. And the concerts the same. We didn't pay much for our tickets. We went to the concerts in Carnegie Music Hall. Yes, we did.
Did you ever attend the Iron Club in the Settlement when it was down on Center Avenue?
I went there. I didn't belong there, but I used to go to the Zion Council. My brother, Ben, was quite athletic, and he played on the team. We'd go to the games there, and there was always something going on at the Zion Council. They were up a couple
blocks. Yeah, from there. So you did have some connection.
We'd hurry and do our homework so we could go to the basketball day.
Ah. Yeah. Tell me this. How much strictness, I did ask you this before, but how much strictness was in your home?
Well, my father...
How were you really raised?
My father was very strict. Do you know what a luxury strap is? Do you know what a strap
is? No, what is a luxury strap?
A cat of nine tails, you know what?
Yes.
And we had one. My father threatened with it, but he never punished us with it. But he was strict.
What did he want you to do that made him so strict? What did he want you to do?
He wanted us... Well, we had to learn Hebrew. He taught us Hebrew himself, see? And we weren't, you know, that we were just thinking the other day, my son, you know, he was in the army, and oh, they slips out, you know, they swear. My father wouldn't let us say darn. If you say darn it, you see, that's just a substitute for a worse word. I don't want you ever to say that, and we didn't, see? But, he was a very, I don't know what to say, my father was a very demonstrative person. For instance, he would put us to bed.
Not your mother?
No.
Why?
Well, he always had a story to tell us. He was that kind of father. They don't come that way anymore. Yeah. He was a very loving father.
And your mother, what was her role?
Your
father was so strict?
My mother was so strict about her house. Her house was immaculate. And we used to teach. Can I tell you an anecdote?
Sure.
Well, you see, we didn't get kosher meat only once a week from Pittsburgh. But my father taught himself to be a shepherd.
Yeah.
We had our own chickens. It was a big
family.
Yeah. So anyhow, she was rendering some fat, beef fat, and it caught on fire. So they called the police, farmer. And she got so excited, she said, we never let her forget it. Clean up the house, the firemen are coming. So to this day, whenever we were expecting company, said to my daughter, she knows the story. I said, look, the ladies are coming. Clean up the house. She was here on Tuesday. The firemen are coming. But she was just a wonderful mother.
And I suppose a very good kosher cook.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, we didn't know what it was to go out and buy. Like today, my mother made her own jellies, and we had a... Well, we lived on Dulwiddy Street, which was quite recent, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in her life, she had a whole cellar full of jellies and jams and preserves and potatoes by the sack. So after I got married, I thought you had a half a lot of, you know, my mother had, I don't know how you sack some potatoes. So I had a sack of potatoes in my, and my gosh, when I ever used it. But see, that's the way you're brought up.
Yeah.
Never bought anything by the pound, it was by the bushel. Who bought a pound?
Well, you were buying for more children. You were buying for nine children.
You had nine children.
Nobody bought by the pound. Heavens.
And the nine of you lived together until how long?
On Dinwiddie Street.
Yeah. Well, you were together on Dinwiddie Street.
Yes. Well, I was married while we lived in Dinwiddie Street. That was 1914 I was married. I lived on Dinwiddie Street. My grandmother was buried from their home and my mother.
And how long did you say you lived there? How long did you live there?
On Dinwiddie Street.
Yeah. Well,
really I'll tell you,
matter.
You know, when we first
maybe came, you lived 10 years or so.
Could be. Yeah.
10 years. Okay. Now, when you were growing up and all the surroundings, you were on Willie Street and I guess, what were your impressions? What impressions did you get of Pittsburgh? Culturally,
well,
and also politically and socially.
I was greatly interested in politics. I am to this day. You know, we were a family that read everything. We wanted to know what was going on. In other words, and naturally, in the house, we had a library where there was plenty to read. We felt that you had to be informed. You had to know what was going on.
You were always a big reader.
Oh, yes, to this day. Well, I tell you, when I came here, I gave, I didn't know what to do with all the books. I gave my Hebrew and Jewish books to my shul. And the other ones I gave to the Bryn Mawr. I didn't know what to do with them, but now I have some books I like to read over and over again. But we read a lot. My father was a great reader and a great, he wanted to know everything.
Still
and he did. He studied astronomy. You just name it, he had to know it. And he played the organ. We had an organ when we lived in Beaver Falls. Not a piano, but an organ. And he played it beautifully. He was a man of many talents, my father. I guess, you know, in the family, some inherit and some were left behind.
So that culturally, actually, you were not as much interested in that, or your impressions of the culture was more or less centered around Center Avenue. Did it extend elsewhere?
No. When we lived on Dinwiddie Street, well, I went to high school right there.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Fifth Avenue High School, yeah. And
of course, you graduated.
And my sister, she went to the one up. That's what she wanted. She took up teaching there. She took the normal, they call it the normal course, up at the in Bedford Avenue.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's where she went.
So that, but culturally, it wasn't, you weren't that much involved in it.
Well,
your impressions of it.
Well, see, we all felt that we had to really ease the burden of my mother by getting work. So my brother, he was heartbroken because I took a commercial course. You know, and my sister's not going to work. My oldest brother, a disgrace to work. So, but I did, and I was so happy that I was able to contribute, and the others the same.
Tell me, you told me you went to Fifth Avenue High School. And you went there until you graduated?
Yes.
And did you go to a religious school? Did you go to Hebrew school?
Of course. I taught in Rabbi Ashinsky, it may not be known as a general thing, but he was the first rabbi in Pittsburgh that realized that they should have a religious school where the children would be taught in English and they should know what it's all about. And he organized a religious school in the old, Midrash ago, they still have a shul in town. Mm-hmm. And that was on Washington Street.
What was the name of it?
Midrash? It was what they call it, the Beit Midrash Hagadol, the great synagogue. And I went there, and after I was through, you know, like I said, gradually, the rabbi asked me to be a teacher, and Rose was a teacher, and I was a teacher. And we had a couple hundred children. They had never known anything about their religion until this was over. And he, it was about
the beginning.
Two pennies they brought.
To pay for it.
Yeah.
Tell me, did you go on to college?
I went when I first got into the savings loan business. We went for 5 years at night, my husband and I, and took law and every kindred subjects, so we should know.
But this didn't follow your high school days.
No, I wanted to go, but I started to work there. I was a bookkeeper for my uncle. Lewis Gordon, who had a wholesale clothing place on Fifth Avenue, and I worked there until I was married.
Tell me this, what were your favorite books? What did you read mostly?
I read everything.
What? What were your most favorite books?
I liked history.
You liked history?
I liked history. And, we just had a wonderful library. You didn't have to even go to the library. But then, you see, in those days, they wouldn't give you a card.
You had a library in your own
home. Yes. And living in Bluefield, I wasn't allowed to have a card yet. So I could, really, when I think of it, kids would do, I sat there all afternoon and read and until I was allowed to have a card. And
tell me this, what subjects were you mostly interested in?
Well, everything, I'd say.
Was there one particular subject?
Well, I like art. I like to read about paintings and go to the, well, you see, it was nothing. You'd go for free to the museum and see the beautiful pictures and the artworks, yes. Oh,
Where did you get your beautiful vocabulary?
From reading.
That's from all?
Well, I liked English when I went to school, so I did. Yeah.
And tell me this, you say you're most interested in history, in library, in reading, all kind of books. Did you ever have to go into dictionaries? How did dictionaries affect you?
Well, I'll tell you, we had a teacher in the eighth grade in grand school that really gave us the foundation. Now, there was a big dictionary on the window, so if you saw a word which you didn't know the meaning, you go to the dictionary. She impressed that. The fact of the matter is, when we graduated from grand school and went on to high school, we had already had the equivalent of 1 year's high school. She was way ahead. She was that kind of a teacher.
And that made you always want to go into it.
Yeah.
Tell me about what about your medical health? In your home,
I was disgustingly healthy as a child. I never had anything but the measles.
Huh?
But then I remember I had the measles and I wanted to read. My mother said, "You can't read if your eyes are weak."
Yeah.
And she put a blanket on the window. See, that I remember, but I never had any of the other childhood disease. So I was a real fat baby.
And the rest of your family were pretty much the same?
Yeah. But I was lucky.
What did you do for fun? And how did you spend your time having fun and recreation?
Well, I like to play bridge.
When you were young?
Oh, not very young.
Well, in your youth, let's go back.
My father never wanted cars in the house. Oh. Isn't it fact? It's one thing you report, a drunkard and a gambler. But we try to follow his teachings. Yeah. I guess everybody thinks they have the best parents, but I know I have.
Sure you did.
I really know.
Now, I want to talk to you about your courtship and your marriage.
Oh, well, that's another story.
How did you meet your husband?
Well, there was a dance that they held for the the boys and girls that were home from college, and just about 18 years old, or just too young to think about getting there. But anyhow, I met him there, and we met off and on for 4 years. And I was married at 22, and I had a happy marriage, a real happy marriage. Well, that was it. Rabbi Ashinsky marriages.
Were you, it wasn't, was it love at first sight, or did you get used to
each
other?
No, it was on his side. No, I couldn't make my mind up, but he had made his mind up. Oh, that way.
He was getting after you.
Yeah, yeah, very different, very much.
So he convinced you, that's it.
Yeah.
Was there any other outstanding thing about your marriage that you can remember?
No. I'll tell you, he was the second of his mother's